Jamie and Locker with you. Let's get to... This is breaking. Breaking CFL news that just dropped from the Ottawa Red Blacks. There are some rumblings going on about what the future is of Ryan Dinwiddie with the Toronto Argonauts. There's no question anymore. He is no longer with the Toronto Argonauts. Ryan Dinwiddie has been hired by the Ottawa Red Blacks to be their general manager and head coach.
What?
So he is taking on both roles with the Ottawa Red Blacks. Ryan Dinwiddie, general manager, head coach of the Ottawa Red Blacks, just announced seconds ago by the Ottawa Red Blacks. Sean Burke, you're probably going, wait, don't they already have a general manager? As Sean Burke has been bumped to vice president of football operations. So Sean Burke, vice president of football operations, Ryan Dinwiddie, head coach and general manager of the Ottawa Red Blacks. And now Toronto needs a new head coach to run their organization. An interesting minute has transpired in the Canadian Football League.
Was there any indication that this was coming down the pipe?
There was some rumblings Dinwiddie in Toronto. There was,
really?
I don't know if it was a power struggle or what. So there was kind of that murmur of maybe.
Okay.
But that happened real fast. Here we go. Ryan Dinwiddie, head coach, general manager now of the Ottawa Red Blacks.
Interesting.
We'll see what Toronto's move is going to be.
Get in the fast lane, Kramer. The bingo game is ready to roll.
It's time to drop the gloves.
Let him into the box. Whoa. Watch the boxing, Ty. Watch the boxing.
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Drew, are you at the Space Needle or the fish market today in Seattle?
Our hotel is literally a block away from the fish market.
Oh, you got to go throw a fish.
No, I don't. I walked. I walked through it today, and it
what's the smell like?
Fish.
It smells like fish.
Fish. Yeah. It's brutal.
It's actually surprisingly clean, though.
Well, I hope.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes,
it is. They keep it up.
Not one temptation to catch a fish, Drew. Just one, to toss that thing over there.
Never had a temptation to catch a fish.
All right.
Never. They say there's plenty of fish in the sea, and they'll stay that way if I'm out in the boat.
I shouldn't ask this question.
Do you
eat seafood?
No, it all tastes like fish to me. No.
You know my
dull palate. No.
Yeah. No. Okay. We need to do a little counseling sesh here with old Locker.
We're going to start with that?
Well,
hold on.
You've been talking about it for 2 days on how terrible Evan Bouchard is.
Okay, well,
so I asked, whose contract is worse for the Oilers, Drew Remenda's dear friend Darnell Nurse or Evan Bouchard for
Bouchard.
The Edmonton
Oilers? There's not even a question about it. But hold on. So the other day we talked about this, and you politely sort of sidestepped the question by suggesting that they need to just sort of keep working on it. Here's my latest question for you regarding Bouchard, Drew. At some point, this is beyond the coaching staff, right? Like, at some point, somebody from the team, like Connor, needs to take him for breakfast and go, what's going on here, buddy? Like, what is happening? Because it's not like he...
Is he in his head about trying to make the team, like the Canadian team or something? Because it's bad.
Well, okay, so last time we talked, and I didn't sidestep the question. I told you, but that's the option. That's the only option they have. The only option they have is to continue, because of his contract, because of the points that he does get, and he's certainly, if you look at his points in his history so far in very young NHL career, he is a guy who produces points. And we covet in the National Hockey League NHL defensemen who score points. And we don't talk enough about NHL defensemen who can play defense. Now, the only choice they have is to work with this kid. The only choice they have is to continue putting him on the ice. The only choice they have is to continue to work with him more and more and more. And if a player, the captain of the club, like you guys are talking about, but it doesn't really, it's not really his style, to wants to embrace him, take him over, take him out for dinner and say, okay, what the hell's going on with you? That can work. It's good that you, the one thing that he said the other day, although it sounds a little whiny from Connor, you guys can say what you want, we love him, that kind of thing. Like, stop being a baby about it. Stop acting like you didn't get your chicken McNuggets and be a man about it and say, hey, listen, he's our teammate. We know what he can do. We have faith in him, and we are going to support him all the way and stay like that. But don't be doing the old, oh, you guys can say what you want thing. That drives me nuts. It's part of the deal. You get paid up millions and millions of dollars to play the game of hockey. Guess what? Having to talk to the press and having the press say things about you or your teammates, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Overall, though, with the kid, that's all you can do is keep working with him. Keep showing him video. Get back out on the ice. Keep working with him. And that's it. And I can't think of any other situation where you're going, well, because of the contract, and it is because of the contract, it's too much money for a young guy, but it can change you. But when you look at a lot of defensemen, and I'll go back to Andre Sekera, who was with the Oilers. He signed that $6 million contract, and then he went with the Oilers and had a terrible year. And the next year, Reg was really good. And one day we happened to be at the same, you know, speaking of my palate, we happened to be at Chipotle in Minnesota, which is up the block from the hotel.
What's your order at Chipotle again?
Chicken and rice.
Chicken and rice.
That's it. White rice. And Reg and I were talking, and I said, okay, what happened? What's the difference? Like, Jimmy, I've told you the story. And he looked and went, I stopped trying to play to my contract. I just went back out and played.
Yeah. I didn't mean you. I wasn't suggesting that you were sidestepping the question.
No,
I just didn't get the answer I was hoping for. So that's why I keep digging.
Yeah, he wants you to go, yeah, they should cut him.
They should bench him,
put him in the press box for a few nights.
Well, again, that's not a bad idea. Putting him up in the press box and just letting him see the game a little bit and to see it different, not a bad idea.
How can you? The $10.5 million player really?
I think they should. Honestly, Jamie, it's that bad. He is that bad.
Enjoying it, to be honest.
Well, because you're. He's an a-hole.
Yeah, Jamie and I have a huge. complex with other people, don't we, Jamie?
Okay. Well, let's move to
a few days he doesn't come in and say something about the Oilers.
I got a segue here, Locker. It's a really good one too.
Go for it. Right.
Let's talk about a wild goal in the National Hockey League.
Good one.
The net is knocked off. The Predators put it in, even though the net's like sideways, and they deem good goal because the Wild goaltender knocked
it off.
Andrew Burnett
Same thing happened to us just a few games ago against Colorado. Backtracking toward Skinner takes the net off accidentally on purpose, and net's off, and the Avalanche score. And I said right away, this is going to count.
What's the timing of it? Like some of these, it's like, was that immediate or not?
Right. I think Steve Stamkos after the game brought up a really good point when he was asked about it. Their argument was that when the net was knocked off, the shot missed the net by Kaprizov, and then on the rebound opportunity, it went off the net. Because of the way the net was turned, and then they were able to put it in. That was the timing issue that they were talking about, and also the fact that if that net wouldn't have been off, there's no way that puck would have came back to, I can't remember who scored it, but that was their argument. But the NHL is looking more seriously at guys who knocked the net off in their mind of accidentally slash on purpose. So it was a wild goal. I thought that one was really questionable because the first rebound putback the puck came off the net, and if the net was in its position, it wouldn't have come off that way, right back to the player's stick.
Drew Remendez, our NHL insider here on the Green Zone, live from the Fish Market in Seattle, Washington, getting ready
throwing
for
tuna.
The Sharks and the Kraken. But coming up next, a debate on what to do when the goalie's mask falls off. Where does Drew Remendez sit on this debate next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM? Jamie and Locker with you. Of course, there's some breaking CFL news. Ryan Dinwiddie is now the general manager and head coach of the Ottawa Redblacks. That's right. Toronto loses their head coach to Ottawa, who makes them their general manager and head coach. Sean Burke moves to the vice presidency role. But Drew Remendez, our NHL insider. Quick note, Drew, Hockey Canada will be showing off their new Olympic jerseys for the hockey team tomorrow. And it looks like there might be a maple leaf on the front of it, Drew, just so you know. Just
okay.
By the...
That's not bad. It's not a bad idea.
Probably
should just... kind of associate Canada and the Maple Leaf together.
Yeah.
And that way when there's no Toronto Maple Leaf on the Canadian Olympic team, you'll still feel okay.
Drew. Another conversation that we're having in hockey lately is the goalie mask conversation. Is this a rule that you think needs to be changed? Because right now, the play will stop if the goalie's team has possession of the puck and there isn't a chance to score from the other team. But there's been more of a, is this the right way to approach that when the goalie mask falls off conversation? And this might be something that the league deals with this year.
Well, my father played goal and played back in the day when the old Western League where you didn't wear a mask and forever sported a scar and a dent in his forehead for as long as I knew him in my life. The guys nowadays, it's, Tage Thompson last year had a 106-mile-an-hour slap shot. Gustav Forsling, I think, was 105. Pollock wrote 101. These guys fire at 95 miles an hour, 90 to 95 miles an hour average per game. The guys can shoot the hell out of the puck these days. And as we know, flesh and a speeding rubber puck do not, or vulcanized puck, do not mix very well. I think it opens the door to all kinds of huge safety issues. If we're a league that is continuing to worry about safety, especially head injuries. So the idea is if the goalie's team has control of puck, boom, the play is blown dead. If the opposing team has a puck and it's not in a situation where they're immediate chance to score, then it's blown dead. If the goalie deliberately removes his mask in that type of situation, then what's supposed to happen is the play's blown dead and the team is awarded a goal. I've never seen that happen, ever.
Yeah, I've never seen it. Is that the extension of the rule?
That's from what I understand, that's the extension of the rule, yeah.
Huh, okay.
So I've never seen that happen. I think the issue is the fact of those snaps, because of pure comfort and how lightweight they want the mask to be, is those when they get hit in the mask, that plastic snap that ties the mask to the head or snaps the mask to the head is immediately disintegrated. So maybe they could change that little makeup of the mask, like do an equipment adjustment. Mm-hmm. And that would be maybe making the mask that much of an, more is to stay on the head. But honestly, guys, I don't think it's such an epidemic level that we have to worry about, you know, should we let the goalies play like Johnny Bauer back in the day? No, let's not do that.
Okay, final one. I only got 30 seconds left for you, Drew. Okay. Let's see how well Drew knows Canadian hockey media. A little trivia question here, Drew. Connor Bedard is Chicago Blackhawk. He is in Vancouver against the Canucks tonight. Do you want to guess what question Vancouver radio shows and podcasts are asking today? Not to Connor Bedard, but just to their audience.
Oh, should the Vancouver Canucks trade for hometown boy Connor Bedard.
Nailed it. Yeah. Should Connor Bedard become a Vancouver Canucks?
Here's my, I know I go, but here's my favorite one. My new favorite one. When some player is getting put back into the lineup, the media asks to the head coach, what do you want to see from him tonight? You know what? I want to see him score 5 friggin' goals, get in 2 fights, and, you know, block a shot that saves the goal. That's what I want to see.
With his face.
That's become my favorite one.
Yeah. By the way, the Oilers don't play until Saturday, so I won't have a Bouchard question for you when you come back on Friday.
You can say go on. Don't worry about it. We'll be okay.
Yeah, he'll figure it out.
What's he doing? What's he doing on Friday night before another big game for him?
What's his minus going to be against the Colorado Avalanche on Saturday night? Is he going to be the question?
Exactly. Better yet, what do you want to see from him? That'd be a good
one. What do you want to see from Bouchard when he's not playing?
We'll talk to you Friday, Drew.
All right, boys. Talk to you then.
Thanks, Drew.
And I'm sure Drew will have a big, bold Riders West final prediction for us as well here on the Green Zone. Damian Locker with you here in the Green Zone. Hope you're enjoying a Wednesday. Very, very, very interesting Wednesday in the Canadian Football League as Ryan Dinwiddie is moving north. Oh, can it? Northeast from
it's a bit
Toronto.
North, right?
Northeast of Toronto to Ottawa to be the general manager and head coach. And we just went through, you should have seen the dominoes that fell in the commercial break. For Darren and Rosh Percy, who believes Mike O'Shea will take Brady Oliveira and Zach with him to Toronto, and Chad Kelly will be the new quarterback in Winnipeg.
To the Bombers. It's on the board, Darren.
But who knows? If Ryan Dinwiddie, what's stopping the Argos to go, Mike, you're our general manager and head coach. We need you to come to Toronto. He's a former Argo. He's a Sudbury, Ontario guy.
Yeah.
So
there's nobody from the Riders coaching staff that might be, cause that opens up the door for,
well, Josh Bell, Mark Mueller of, but I don't know. Toronto's a tough place to be a head coach because they don't really have practice facilities and everything. They're practicing at high schools. It's a little bit embarrassing, for the Canadian Football League. Actually, maybe that's why they changed the field. They can actually get a field dimensions in somewhere in Toronto for their training facility or something.
Well, that's uncalled for to think that Toronto would control things like that.
So, interesting news in the Canadian Football League. Let's get Britton Gray's thoughts on this.
Get the latest news on your team from the Green Zone.
The Daily Blitz with Britton Gray.
Britton, are you surprised? There was some like little murmurs about a Ryan Dinwiddie move out of Toronto, but are you surprised after 2 Grey Cup championships in 4 years that he makes that jump to Ottawa with how Ottawa's been the last couple of years?
I am surprised, but now that I've been thinking about it, let's look back at this whole season. Ryan Dinwiddie in that locker room, they felt splintered. He was calling guys out all year long. He was clearly unhappy with the talent that got brought in at certain points. He was yelling at offensive linemen that they were getting pushed around and didn't do anything in the offseason. When you look back, it's clear there was a lot of frustration that boiled over. And hey, Ottawa, this great move on Ottawa's part because now Oseg, who owns them, this is a, hey, fans, it's been rough. We're here to win. We take this seriously. We're bringing in a winner. We're going to improve what's happening because what happened last year or this season is unacceptable. That's what this move is for the Red Blacks.
I'm curious because we've had a couple of conflicting storylines about Dinwiddie. We had him on, and I put him in this sort of camp about, like, you know, that he good guy, salt of the earth, not going to rock the boat too much. And then we had other people on like, oh.
We don't know what really behind the scenes, but it's just like calling out his, like
that publicly. That was surprise.
putting spears in them on how bad they were. He called out an all-star offensive lineman for losing too much weight in the offseason. It's like getting shoved around. We have an all-star offensive lineman. It was like, what are we doing?
The sideline stuff.
Oh, losing his mind, kicking the...
Yeah.
Well, who was that against? Was it Hamilton? It was just like, whoa, okay.
It was one of the teams that has both teams on the same sideline.
Yeah. Edmonton. It was Mark Killam.
It was Edmonton. Right.
Yeah.
Where it was like, where are we going here?
There was a lot of stuff that makes you think that something was rotten in that locker room, and Dinwiddie just said, I can go coach wherever. That's what this is. And then I can do whatever.
And then he remember that post game after Edmonton. He said, I hope they enjoy not making the playoffs or watching the playoffs. And, well, Toronto also missed the playoffs. So here we go.
Yeah, interesting times. It is interesting to now look back on the season and go, okay, you bring up a really good point. But I'm surprised, too, that he got to that point, right? He must have been pushed.
He's a competitor. He wants to win. I think when we look at what Toronto's done as well, they let guys just go. How much roster turnover have they had over the Grey Cup victories? They missed playoffs because so many guys leave. Head to the Grey Cup, so many guys leave. So I think he's also probably a little bit frustrated. He's trying to build something, and guys just continue to let go.
Is this a sign that there is real problems in Toronto?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Or if they caught wind and they wanted to keep Ryan, they would have, like, Pinball Clemens is the GM right now, right? As a figurehead GM, they could have easily said, no, we'll make you our general manager and head coach. So that didn't happen. And there was, and that division rival that was like, yeah, that's not a good indication of where the Argos are. And we'll see what the rest of the offseason holds. So that's some big CFL news. Dave Naylor will join us tomorrow and break it all down. He'll likely have a lot more information as this story unravels on what's going on behind the scenes. But Britton Gray, let's get to the Riders' story. Roland Milligan Jr., Keyshawn Johnson, you were able to speak to them today. Are they trending in the right direction?
They are. You just have to look at the injury report to see where they're trending. Roland Milligan upgraded to full participant today. He was out there for a lot with the team. Keyshawn Johnson upgraded to limited. Now, it's not full, but him just being out there, he's played all season. You don't have to worry about the chemistry or anything like that. He'll be ready to go. He was taking mental reps. He was involved a little bit more than you would expect. In the individual drills, he was running everything. He was catching footballs. He's trending in the right direction, but it's a tough decision because you have to decide Joe Robustelli, who we all really like, Keyshawn Johnson. Where's really the thing? I would play Keyshawn Johnson. I think that even at 90%, what he offers on second down, just even be able to get those 8-yard slants. He's the best route runner this team has, to be honest. So to have him out there in any capacity, I think would be big for this team.
The conversation we're having with the Green Zone listeners today is, Britton, what's perfect playoff football weather? And are we closing in on that for Saturday, in your opinion?
I know everyone likes it to be a little bit cold out there. They like the snow games. I just think you get some ugly football when the snow and it's really cold out there. I want to see the talent really survive.
You want to play in a dome?
I want to see the talent play, not just whoever gets lucky because their feet didn't slip or they have the right cleats out there.
You see, are we surprised that Britton would rather the game be played in a dome? Seriously? It's the prairies. It's the playoffs.
Hey, it's a great advantage for the Riders if the weather turns out to be ugly. But my ideal playoff weather
is no weather, just a stale.
I'm against that.
Let some good football go.
I agree with you on the snow thing. Jamie wants a foot of snow.
I don't want a foot of snow. I just want just a little bit of snow. I don't want a blizzard. It's not what
I want. Just the ground crunching under your feet. -5, -10, bit of a wind chill, clear skies. That's a perfect playoff football day for me.
All right. Also, All-Stars. 9. Sorry. Better get the branding right. The All-CFLers were announced today. 9 All-CFLers for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Yes, it is. Couple of firsts, like Jacob Bramer.
Mm-hmm.
Getting love from the I was surprised. He's graded out well. When it comes to like the PFF, I know there's some who go, really? But maybe that plays a factor in it on how he was able to grade out this year. And the Rough Riders, one of the best offenses, one of the best run games, have three offensive linemen as all CFLers, Logan Ferland, Jamarcus Hardrick, and Jacob Bramer.
The entire right side of the offensive line, essentially. I mean, even like the most outstanding offensive lineman award, the All-Stars, it's a group thing, especially when the O-line, because if one guy misses assignment, makes everyone look bad. That right side has been solid all year, and I'm glad all three of them were rewarded in some way, because as you mentioned, Jacob Bramer, not a guy we talk about a ton about, but clearly got a lot of recognition, and good for him. Yep. Another guy, Roland Milligan, once again, even though he missed some time, doesn't have the eye-popping stats. He's now earned that point where people just recognize, oh yeah, guys just don't throw at him because he's that darn good.
So a quick question about today was open practice, tomorrow's closed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, and then walkthrough on Friday. There hasn't been a pads day this week, has there?
At this point, they don't really do pads. No? I'm not sure on the playoff. They only have a certain amount they can do during the regular season. I don't think you get one in the playoffs.
I think they've run out of them.
Yeah.
Okay, they run out of them, and then they can't do them. Okay. Yeah. That's bizarre to me.
Do you want to save one, though, in case you don't make playoffs and you just miss out on using one?
Usually it's like September. By this time, they don't want to hurt anybody. Yeah, they don't want to be full go. So
you're trying to get healthy right now, Walker. You don't need guys.
Do you feel
hits.
The intensity of the playoffs though at practice, or is this like we were talking? This is like a lunchbox team. They just show up to work and it's the same team every day, no matter what is up for grabs.
I don't know if they're feeling it. I think the fans and us in the media are starting to, especially when you start to see guys like Roland Milligan out there, or you look out, Keyshawn Johnson is out there on the field. You start to feel like, okay, here we go. This is the team. They're getting healthy. This is who we want to see out there.
We'll see that final injury report tomorrow on who's available, who is out, and, of course, the depth chart on Friday. That is our Green Zone. Rider reporter Britton Gray. He'll have a lot more at CJME.com, CKOM.com. Daryl Davis is also coming up as we do a double take with Daryl. A couple of Rough Riders coming in here on the Green Zone as well.
We don't know yet.
405. Who's coming, right? Well, Tommy Stevens is coming.
Okay.
I know that much.
We know that much? Okay.
Stone cold.
Tommy Tsunami. Stevens. I'm not giving up on that.
Well, I think he's about to tell you that you should probably give up on that.
Blue Jay
news coming up next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Well, there's some Blue Jay news today. Of course, World Series runner-up, Game 7 loss in extra innings. But we're starting to see the starting rotation come together for the Toronto Blue Jays for the 2026 season. You expect Treya Savage will be in there. Kevin Gausman, of course. If Chris Bassett is healthy, a healthy Jose Barrios. And Shane Bieber has exercised his player option to stay with the Toronto Blue Jays 2026, $16 million next season. Former Cy Young Award winner, of course, he joined the Jays at the trade deadline from Cleveland. He was rehabbing his Tommy John surgery and then started some big games for the Toronto Blue Jays. Game 4 of the World Series, where he matched up against Shohei Ohtani.
Listen, I thought Bieber played well. We're going to remember the fact that
he gave up the home run in the extra innings in Game 7.
That was Smith that hit that,
Will
right?
Will Smith, yeah. Not that Will Smith.
No.
Different Will Smith.
Yeah.
Not that Will Smith, another different Will Smith.
I do believe there is a Will Smith in every professional sports league. CFL. Is there a Will Smith? Didn't we already do this? We already did this, didn't we?
We went through.
I think we did it. We don't need to do it again. I like that rotation. I think that, I mean, Bassett and Scherzer are free agents this winter. I'm pretty certain Bassett is coming back. Scherzer is... I think he's done. I think he walks away into the sunset.
You know, his wife's Instagram post was a very,
very, very thank you, goodbye.
Thank you to Toronto type feel to it. Then it's a we can't wait to be back type feel to it.
Yeah. It was more of a if we come back, you know, so we'll save us a spot for dinner.
Shane Bieber will be back with the Toronto Blue Jays, of course. It turns quick after the World Series when free agency and all these guys start opting out and opting in to their player options.